Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, and that we would hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? So something that I have come to know and deeply appreciate is that it is a really good thing that I do not have to have it all together in order to serve the Lord. And you all say amen, right? Yeah. Thanks, Ren, in the back. Thank you. Appreciate that. But also, I have come to know you well enough to know that it is really good that you do not have to have it all together in order to serve him either. So we're going to look at Matthew 28, continuing in our sermon series about Jesus being revealed. And what we see today is that Jesus is revealed as the ever-present missionary. And he continues to do his mission work even through imperfect and sometimes awkward followers like us. So we're going to look at Matthew 28 together. It's in your bulletin. If you would turn there, you're always welcome to use the Bible under the seat in front of you. But Matthew 28, read just a moment ago. Beginning at verse 16, this is the so-called Great Commission of our Lord. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. The 11, that is the 12 disciples minus Judas who had betrayed Jesus, they see Jesus in the flesh, in person, face to face, crucified and now risen from the dead, and they get down on their knees and worship him as Lord and God. They worshiped Jesus. They didn't just reverence him. They didn't just think it was pretty impressive. They finally got the picture that he really and truly is God incarnate. He is, as one person said it so perfectly, he is God's self-extension down at our level. Or as the Nicene Creed, which we recite each week, puts it, he is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He's not a second God. He is himself the one and only true God. He's God's self-extension down at our level. And so they worship him. Rightly and properly worship Jesus. But some of those worshipers also had doubts. Some of these same worshipers also had hesitations. That's what it says. It says, they worshiped him, but also some of them, a subset of the them, also at the same time had doubts about it all. Some of Jesus' core disciples, his core group, people who later took the gospel all over the world, most of whom later died as martyrs for Jesus' sake, they had hesitations also. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, earlier back in chapter 11, the great John the Baptist, who rightly proclaimed Jesus to be the one that God had promised all along, who died for that confession, he himself had doubts in the midst of his suffering and had to go ask Jesus if he really was in fact the Messiah like he believed him to be. This is not what I expected, Jesus. Is it real? Even John had doubts and needed reassurance. Worship and doubt, doubt and worship, faith and questions, questions and faith. And the core of Jesus' followers who were commissioned here to go start the church had to hold this tension. So as one writer put it, the structure of the Christian faith is bipolar. Christians live our lives with both worship and doubt. We believe and we still have doubts. We worship and we still have questions. We put our trust in him honestly and we still don't get it all. And the church was founded with a group of people just like that. That seems to indicate that being a worshiper with questions, a worshiper with hesitations, is normal for Christians. God, I know that you do miracles, but I am not sure when I don't see it in my own life. God, I committed to you and I followed you and my marriage fell apart. I believed that you called me to this ministry and it didn't work. You tell me to seek reconciliation and forgiveness, but he did it again. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm suffering. I'm in pain. Why? And here we see Jesus risen from the dead, and they still had questions in their hearts. They didn't have it all nailed down. They still had understandable hesitations about it all. Now, this is not unbelief and sort of hypocritical, I don't really believe, but I guess I'll just go through worship motions anyway. This was real worship and real faith while at the same time having and acknowledging questions and hesitations. And apparently, that's okay. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, and some doubted. And then we see Jesus, the great missionary. Verse 18. And to those doubting worshipers, Jesus came. He came and he spoke to them, but Jesus came. Jesus comes to his people. He comes to people who have honest questions about him and faith and the resurrection. He comes to those who, thanks be to God, he comes to those who don't get it right all the time. Even people who had denied him and run away. Jesus comes to people with real, serious, intellectual questions. He comes to people with suffering in their lives who can't understand where God is in the midst of it. He comes to people who look him in the eye and doubt that he is who he says he is. He comes to those who worship in one moment and at the same time still have questions in their hearts. And to them, to us, Jesus came. Jesus, the great missionary. He leaves the glory of heaven to become one of us, to put skin on, to take on our full human nature as Christians, to become human himself, as the Christmas hymn says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. In the face of Jesus, we see God. God comes to us. And Jesus lives and teaches, and he's crucified, and he rises again, defeating sin and death and the devil for us, and he comes to give us life that we might have life in him. And he comes as the great missionary to us. And even after he died on the cross and rose again, he comes back to these back and forth disciples. And he doesn't say what I would probably say. He doesn't say, get your act together. He doesn't step away from them and say, I'll come back when you shape up. He doesn't say, you see me right here, quit doubting, and then I can use you. He comes to his imperfectly believing disciples. And then he uses exactly those back and forth disciples for his mission, sending them out. Verse 18, he came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus says. All authority has been given to him. All power in both heaven and earth is given to Jesus. As the song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever. All power that the world thinks we have has been taken away and given to another, to Jesus the Christ. The one who, in the last chapter, in chapter 27, the one who is mocked as being unable to come down from the cross, the one who, not long before this happened, people had just been looking for him in a grave because he was dead, is risen from the dead and is given universal power and authority even over death itself. Jesus says, all of that, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So, that's where he goes next, verse 19. So, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. He says, because I stand risen from the grave with all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore, go make disciples of all nations. That's the basis for our call to go make disciples, to go share the good news of Jesus with others, because he is risen and Lord of all. Therefore, we go make disciples. We can do this. We can continue his missionary work because of who our Lord is. And then he concludes his commission with these words. Verse 20. He says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Though your faith is imperfect, which is normal, you can do this, he says, because I am with you. He says, I, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who snatched authority from death and Satan, the one who holds all things in my hands, I am with you always. We can go out because our Lord is always with us. This is why we at Holy Cross would do things like go set up a booth at a local event to look for ways to pray for people and point them to Jesus. This is why we at Holy Cross can begin in our new ministry. We can go into the local trailer park neighborhood to serve children and to point them to Jesus. And big picture, this is why we at Holy Cross joyfully give away over $200,000 each year to ministry and mission outside of our walls so that people in our community and around the globe can be served and come to know Jesus. Because of who he is, because he is with us, because he provides for us, we can go in his name and make disciples of all nations. He is the great missionary who comes to us in our weakness and in our imperfect faith, and he promises that he is always with us. He is the ever-present missionary. He is with us always, and as we go out and make disciples, as we go out to share the gospel and to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus, he is actually continuing his missionary work through you. He promises to continue his work as we go out in his name and in his power, and he is with us as we go. He says, I am always with you to the end of the age. Jesus is revealed as the ever-present missionary. He comes to us with our imperfect and sometimes clumsy faith, and he calls us to join him in his mission work to the world, to lead people into a growing relationship with him, to lead people into faith, to care for their needs in his name, to seek justice that his kingdom reign may be known, and to grow as his disciples. He is the ever-present missionary, and his presence and power is known as we, as you and I, go and make disciples all over the world. His missionary presence is known and experienced as his people go, as we give, as we send missionaries, as we pray earnestly for the lost, as we point our families to Jesus. Jesus is revealed as the ever-present missionary, and his people are then called to join him in his work. And as we do that, we are assured that the Lord of heaven and earth is always with us. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.